is already designed where your life is supposed to go.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why that fact sets us free to put first things first.
Your job is not to create your life. Your job is to walk in His pre-planned purpose for your life.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans has been taking us through a series of messages on the authority God has given us as believers. Today, he'll talk about what God wants us to do with that kind of power. Let's turn to the book of Genesis as he begins.
You see, in chapter 2, we're told in verse 7, the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being, and the Lord planted a garden toward the east in Eden. And there he placed the man whom he had formed. His name was Adam, or Adam. Adam refers to that which comes from the ground. God made man from the ground he was to oversee. He would be like that which he was overseeing, for he was made from its very content. He then, watch this, placed man, a specific man, in a garden. A specific locale, we call it Eden or paradise, and this was to be the place where his managerial responsibilities were to be executed. In other words, in chapter 1, God gave the global role of mankind exercising dominion over the earth. But in chapter 2, he has a specific man, Adam, in a specific role, the Garden of Eden, carrying out a specific rulership task. While all of us have a role to play in Let Them Rule, chapter 1, of the whole earth, the way you contribute to it is by learning to rule your piece of the earth. Everybody in here has a garden. That is, a particular sphere of responsibility that God has placed within your care. It is the sum total of us that are supposed to rule the earth, but it is the individual case that rules your earth or your particular garden. This concept of you having a garden is found in the Bible in the concept of your calling or your divinely ordained reason for being. You have a garden, an area, a sphere, a world of influence, a scope of responsibility that's yours to take care of. So Adam is the prototype of you and me as to what we are to be doing in the garden that God gives us. And everybody has one. But you say, but God created Adam for that purpose. Well, Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpieces created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, Adam had a first creation. You and I get a recreation. When we came to Christ, Christ recreated us for the garden of our own responsibility. Pre-planned it. It says it was planned beforehand, like the garden was planned for Adam, that we should walk or carry out our responsibilities in the context of that calling or that garden environment that God has created for every believer. So the worst thing in the world is to live your life and miss your garden. The worst thing in the world is to live your life, be recreated by God, and miss the sphere of responsibility that God has intended for you. Psalm 139 verse 16 says that God has already scripted out your life in advance. What you are supposed to do, what you have been ordained to do, has already, Psalm 139 verse 16 says, been written down in God's book. He has already predated your purpose. He has already set out the proposal of your destiny. He has already designed where your life is supposed to go. Your job is not to create your life. Your job is to walk in His pre-planned purpose for your life. Here we are. Adam has now been placed in his sphere of responsibility, and he's supposed to rule that. He's supposed to call the shots there, because remember, the guideline is let them rule. Now, before we go any further, singles, I want you to know Adam is not married yet. Adam is not married. Adam is single. Adam is not an unhappy single. Neither is he an unfulfilled single. Neither is he a miserable single. He's not a depressed single. He's not on lithium. He's not on Valium. He's not on Prozac. He's not pulling out his hair. He's not screaming. He's not asking, when am I going to find somebody? That's not what Adam is doing. Adam doesn't even know anything about a female. Adam is a successful single. He's a happy single. He's a fulfilled single. Guess why he's making it as a single? Because he's fulfilling his calling. He is handling his garden. He's not going outside of his garden looking for something God ain't made yet. He is so fulfilled in satisfying his gardening responsibility that he's content until God tells him it's time for a change. See, if you're running around miserable as a single, you're not giving enough time to your garden. You're so looking outside your garden that you're missing your garden, so you're not satisfying the responsibilities of living in your garden. Adam is a successful single. The successful singles I know, the happy singles, I don't mean perfectly so because we do live in a cursed world, but the singles who are stable and who are fulfilled are the singles who are living out their purpose, living out their garden, handling their sphere of calling, their sphere of responsibility. That was Adam right now. He's a man by himself, doing fine. Why? Because he's got a garden to take care of. And it is a divinely ordained responsibility. What does this mean for a single? It means you can be single and have full meaning because you have full responsibility in the garden that God has put you in. Not only is he single, he doesn't even have another man to talk to. There is nobody but him. And the man is not lonely and miserable. Why? Because a charge to keep I have and a God to glorify. He's got a garden to take care of. So if you are single and dissatisfied, and that's not just a momentary thing, it is a way of life for you, then that means that you need to focus on calling and purpose and divine design until your change comes. All right? So Adam is now doing his thing. He's been placed in the garden, and his job is now going to be spelled out for him. Verse 15. The Lord God took man. Please notice God is all up in this. Verse 7, God formed man. Verse 8, God planted a garden. Verse 9, God caused every tree to grow in the garden. Verse 15, God took man. God is all up in the equation. He took man, and he placed him in the garden that he made. God, it's like God placing you in your calling, placing you in your purpose, placing you in your destiny. He placed him in the garden, and he gave him two responsibilities. He says, I want you to cultivate it, and I want you to keep it. These are the two responsibilities every Christian has in the sphere of living out the divine mandate to rule. First of all, you ought to cultivate your garden. The word cultivate means to develop it, to turn it into what it was designed to become. So like raising children, you develop them into adults. You ought to cultivate what God gives you. See, God doesn't do the work for you. He does the work with you. He doesn't do the work for you. He sets the stage, provides the natural resource for you to do the work, because let them rule. So God doesn't do the work. We are workers together with him. What you and I have to understand is that part of the dominion mandate, part of the divine responsibility, is for you to fulfill the development of that which God provides. God makes the provision, but you do the cultivating. One of the ways we got through seminary was house sitting. We lived in a little old tiny apartment. I guess at that time we had three kids. Oh, did I love when our name got called to house sit. They were living large. I mean, you know, you got these 5, 6, 7, 8,000 square foot houses, and they call us the house sit. Now, the folks would meet with us to make sure we were the ones they wanted sitting in their house and watching their kids, because they would leave their kids and go on vacation, and so we would house sit. And they would pay you to watch their house while they were gone. Some of them, they have Benzes, Rolls Royce in that, give you the key. Tell you, you can drive to school. When you get that kind of thing, you drive slow. So we house sitting and living, always the refrigerator and the freezer packed. Packed. Steaks, roast, pork chops, just packed. And they would always say, eat whatever you want. They would always say, eat whatever you want. As long as you take care of our house and our kids. In other words, there was an enjoyment coupled with an expectation. See, it wasn't just enjoy this garden we put you in. It's that while you enjoy the garden, fulfill the expectation. We didn't just invite you here for fun, although we want you to enjoy staying here. We invited you here to take care of something for us. Okay, our garden, our home. God says, I have a calling for you. It is a fulfilling calling. It is an enjoyable calling. You are to cultivate the garden or the calling. But then he says, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. See, that's why in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that's why the tithe was so important. The tithe was said, it was restricted for God. That was not your money. Why does God create a restriction? Why does God say the first tenth of what you get is not yours? The same reason he put the tree in the middle of the garden. Here it is. You can never have freedom without restriction. Once you have freedom and there is no restriction, you just introduce chaos. You just introduce chaos. You can't have a football game with no sidelines. If the running back can run up into the stands, out into the concession area, down into the parking lot, that's no longer a football game. That's a chaotic free-for-all. Freedom is not the absence of restriction. Freedom is operating within the restrictions legitimately. That's freedom. You can't have a tennis match with no baseline. You can't have a baseball game with no foul pole. You've got to have a restriction in order to enjoy the game. He says, I want to create a restriction. For you can enjoy shop till you drop. You can maximize the freedom I have given you as long as you do not cross this line. Why did God not want them to cross this line? The same reason why you have a line for your teenager. Because there was to be a permanent distinction between parent and child. There is to be a permanent distinction between God and man. God always wants you to remember you are a subordinate. You are not an independent living in a garden he made. We were never to forget when house sitting, this is not your house. Adam, I have a plan for you and a calling for you and a purpose for you, and I'm going to drop you in it. Your job is to develop it and keep the devil out of it. Now, here's the key to your developing your life in my garden and ruling my garden as I created you to rule it. You are to live, here it is, I'm stating it another way so that I can hopefully make it a little clearer. You are to live your life and run your garden by revelation. That which I reveal. You are not to live your life and regulate your existence by, here it is, human determination. In other words, I don't want you to decide what's right and wrong. I will decide what's right and wrong for you. As long as I haven't called it wrong, It's right. You can eat from any tree of the garden, but I do not want you to use your information, knowledge, to make a determination about what's good and what's evil. You don't know enough to make those decisions. You're not smart enough. Anybody have any teenagers in your house who think they know enough to decide what they should do and what they shouldn't do? What's an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old doing trying to tell you how life works? You haven't been here long enough to know how life works. So I would talk to my daddy and I would tell my daddy, "Daddy, you're getting these restrictions on me and I'm almost a man." He said, "When you buying your own house, paying your own bills, facilitating your own utilities, when you can afford your own car and your own gas, then you can discuss being a man. But as long as it's my house and my bills and my utilities and my buying you clothes and my putting gas in your car, you are to listen. I don't want you to determine anything. I want you to operate by revelation and not by your own information that leads you to make a determination about what's good and what's not, what's up and what's down, what's legitimate and what's illegitimate. I want to be the standard by which your decisions are made."
Dr. Evans will tell us more about why God's calls aren't to be questioned when he comes back in a moment with more of this lesson from his series, Reclaiming Your Spiritual Authority. It's a 2-volume look at taking the power God gave us and putting it to work. For a limited time, we're offering all 12 CDs in this powerful collection as our gift when you help keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any amount. So don't miss out. Visit us today at tonyevans.org. Make your contribution and let us send you Reclaiming Your Spiritual Authority. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information later on after part 2 of today's lesson and this.
Only in theaters April 29th and 30th, Dr. Tony Evans explains why a man isn't a real man until he's a kingdom man.
I am passionate about the teaching of the Bible on what it means to be a man because we've got far too much errant information telling us what manhood should be.
Kingdom Men Rising shatters stereotypes and paints a real-life picture of manhood at its best, teaching men to keep promises instead of secrets, to rebuild lives and not just engines, to follow Jesus more closely than football.
This is going to be a great opportunity for men to be challenged at a whole nother level.
Kingdom Men Rising with Tony Evans, along with Troy Vincent, John Kitna, Tony Dungy, Tim Brown, Kirk Franklin, Priscilla Shire, and many others. Coming to theaters April 29th and 30th. Visit tonyevans.org for locations and showtimes.
Now this raises a question. Why would God give them a garden and put a restriction in the middle of it? Because if it's in the middle, that means you're seeing it all the time. No matter which direction you go, you got to go through downtown. You got to go through this middle of the garden and you got to see this tree that I can't have. Remember now, watch this now. There was only one tree he couldn't have. He could have all the other trees. See, that's why in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that's why the tithe was so important. The tithe was said it was restricted for God. That was not your money. Why does God create a restriction? Why does God say the first tenth of what you get is not yours? The same reason he put the tree in the middle of the garden. Here it is. You can never have freedom without restriction. Once you have freedom and there is no restriction, you just introduce chaos. You just introduce chaos. You can't have a football game with no sidelines. If the running back can run up into the stands, out into the concession area, down into the parking lot, that's no longer a football game. That's a chaotic free-for-all. Freedom is not the absence of restriction. Freedom is operating within the restrictions legitimately. That's freedom. You can't have a tennis match with no baseline. You can't have a baseball game with no foul pole. You've got to have a restriction in order to enjoy the game. He says, I want to create a restriction for you can enjoy shop till you drop. You can maximize the freedom I have given you as long as you do not cross this line. Why did God not want them to cross this line? There is to be a permanent distinction between God and man. God always wants you to remember you are a subordinate. You are not an independent living in a garden he made. You are to live your life and run your garden by revelation. That which I reveal. You are not to live your life and regulate your existence by, here it is, human determination. So I'm going to put a tree here and we're going to see whose standard you use. Are you going to use your own standard? Or as the word Proverbs puts it, are you going to lean to your own understanding? Are you going to operate by your own frame of reference? Are you going to operate by your determinative ability to decide what's right and wrong? We've got science, and science has gotten so educated that they have determined God does not exist. They have made a determination outside of revelation over stuff that nobody has ever observed, that you can never put in a test tube, but they think the puny mind of man can discover the purposes of God without God telling them what they ought to think. It's in education, it's in information, by human determination. Because when I hear Christians talk about it, I hear regularly human determination, but I don't hear a discussion of revelation. And revelation is supposed to enter everything you do if you want God involved in your garden. It's supposed to enter into politics, in sociology, in education, in science, in medical science. It is supposed to enter personal living, family. It's supposed to be life by revelation, not life by human determination. I'm going to decide what's right and wrong. I'm going to decide what's good and bad. My knowledge base is going to tell me what I ought to do and what I ought not to do. God is saying to us, you haven't been here that long. You're not to learn by your own experiences. You're to learn by trusting the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will walk the walk with you. I mean, I told you a couple years ago I was invited to Fort Worth to speak at a church. So they faxed the directions to me and quickly looked at the directions and put it on the seat. And I drove west on 20. Got off the second exit and turned left. I turned left and was driving. It's 5 of 7. I'm supposed to be there to speak at 7, but I'm not seeing a church. I'm looking all over for a church. I'm not in the country. It's 5 of 7. I'm getting a little panicky now because I don't like being late, and so I've got to be on time. So I'm now out here in the country, and I thought, okay. Let me turn around and go back because I saw a 7-Eleven. I go back to the 7-Eleven. I walk inside the 7-Eleven. I said, look, I'm looking for this church. You know where this church is? He said, absolutely. He said, you didn't go far enough. I didn't go far enough. I said, in the car. He said, keep going. You're going to run into it. I get back in my car. I go further. Now I'm in the country. I've run out of animals. I'm so far in the country. I am way out there, and I am lost as a jaybird. A man drives the other way. There's a light there, pulls up to the light. I wind down my window. I say, sir, I'm looking for this church. You know where this church is? He says, yeah, I know I've seen that somewhere. I just rolled back up my window. He couldn't help me. I'm lost. The folk are trying to help me lost. Just a bunch of lost people. Guess what I decided to do? I pull over to the side of the road, and I said, let me slowly read these directions the pastor sent me, because the pastor ought to know where his church is. I pick up the sheet, go west on 20, get on 820, take the second exit. Okay, when you get to the bottom exit, turn right. See, I read it generally. I didn't read it expositionally. I didn't read it looking for the details of the record. I just was satisfied with a glance. But then when I studied it and when I paid attention to it and when I got particular about it, I saw that I leaned to my own understanding. I thought I knew enough about directions to lean to my own understanding, and I went left. And when I went left, I went way left. And when I talked to people who I thought could help me, they took me lefter. And I wind up not only going left, but I wind up getting lost going left. But when I went back the right way, when I headed back in the direction that was prescribed for me, when I didn't decide what the right way was versus the wrong way, but I let the pastor of the church tell me what the right way was versus the wrong way, when I got back to the place of the exit and kept going, the church was one block to the right. When I'd gone 15 miles to the left, some of us are living 15 miles to the left. When God says, if you operate by revelation, your future, your calling, your garden is one right block to the right, you'll discover that God knows where he's taking you. Doesn't matter how sophisticated the people sound who are giving you advice, if they're not giving you his directions. Because the creator ought to know where the church is. He ought to know where your purpose is, your future is, your mate is, all the things that make up life. He ought to know where they are located. What the devil wants you to do is eat the tree of your own understanding so that he can keep you going left. For years, decades, lifetime. Deuteronomy 30 says, choose life. A lot of the things God says won't make sense. He told Martha, move the stone. Martha said, that don't make sense. God told her, I didn't ask you to understand it. I asked you to move it. I didn't even ask you to agree with it. I just asked you to move it. And not until she responded did she see the miracle take place. Some of us are discussing why the stone shouldn't be moved. And God's waiting for 15 years for the stone to get moved so he could do what he planned to do. We have a pregnancy center. At the pregnancy center, we tell the girls, choose life. They come in, some wanting to abort their babies. We say, no, choose life. But then they argue back. What they argue back is, yeah, but daddy's not in the picture. But we say, choose life. I don't have money. Yeah, but still choose life. Yeah, but this will be my second child out of wedlock. Yeah, right. But still choose life. Our folks call on them to choose right. Because if they go by how they feel, with hormones kicking and with circumstances kicking, if they go by how they feel, somebody gonna die. If they go by how they feel with the knowledge of what they think is best. And so we're in their ears. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. God is all up in your ear today saying, choose life. Choose life. I got a garden for you. It's a lot of freedom in that garden. It's plenty of fruit in that garden. There's a tree you can't touch in that garden. But there's life in that garden. It's time to go to the lost and found and reclaim your spiritual authority. If you've lost your way and you want to come back and you want to regain what the devil has slipped into your garden to take. If you're not a Christian, we want to introduce you to Christ. If you are a Christian, we want to connect you with a real relationship to his lordship.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about why our questions can delay God's answers. If you'd like to get the complete full-length version of today's message, the title to ask about is The Key to Ruling Your World. But the best way to get it is to request it as a part of Tony's two-volume series, Reclaiming Your Spiritual Authority. And remember, this 12-CD collection is yours as our thank you gift for a contribution of any amount, as long as you make your request before time runs out. So don't put it off. Make the arrangements today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open around the clock to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Connecting with the incredible power God has given us requires a clear understanding of who we are and who we aren't. Well, next time, Dr. Evans will tell us about both and explain how to keep them in balance. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.